I had my children on the floor. I was on my favourite blanket that my grandmother gave me on the floor like a cat.
And I realised in that moment the potential of what our bodies can really do as women.
Like, I could feel his head. I could do my own internal, like, yeah, his head, I could feel it.
I was in tears. I was just in tears and overwhelmed with gratitude.
Hi, and welcome to the Natural Birth Podcast, the podcast that is bringing embodied birth wisdom from women from all over the world sharing their natural birth stories. Don't forget to subscribe and download so that you can always have access to these empowering and positive natural birth stories. Hi, my name is Anna, also known as the Spiritual Midwife, and I am the Natural Birth Podcast host. I'm a midwife and a childbirth educator, and I assist women in optimizing their chances of having an empowering and natural birth experience and a nourishing and healing postpartum. I offer holistic birth preparation and postpartum online courses worldwide for the conscious mama wanting to prepare emotionally, mentally, physically, and spiritually for her birth and for her postpartum. And if you want to know more about me and what I do in the world, then visit me at thenaturalbirthcourse.com. If you had a natural and empowering birth experience that you would like to share with the world, then you can email me at annathespiritualmidwife@gmail.com, and maybe your story will be featured on the Natural Birth Podcast. Now let's dive into today's episode. Today on the Natural Birth Podcast, we have Abby. Abby is a mama of one from Perth, Australia, and she's a tantric and kundalini yoga teacher and modern mystic. In today's episode, we dive deeply into Abby's very shamanic birth process. She shares very vividly with us about her birth process of meeting ancestral trauma passed down through her matriarchal lineage, and how she truly understood, in hindsight, how surrender was the key to birth, and that she needed to fully let go of the warrioress and fully embrace the power in surrendering to the life force energy wanting to come through her and birth through her. Curious about Abby? Find her on Instagram as Abby Branson. Hi, Abby, and welcome to the Natural Birth Podcast. How are you today?
Hi, love. I'm really good. I'm really excited. Thank you. Can't wait to share all about the birth story.
Yes. We've been trying to get this this interview going for a few months now, haven't we? It's been a while of back and forth and trying to find this time, and finally we're here, and we've already been bubbling like little chipmunks about everything. And and I can't wait for the listeners to hear about your birth story. I can't wait to hear it myself. I just know very small snippets of it, and I'm really excited to hear the full-on story. So with no further ado, Abby, take us back to the early signs of labor approaching for you, and where you were. Paint us a picture, please.
Okay, wonderful. Right. So I was the kind of woman that approaching my birth, I wasn't someone that did a lot of deep diving into books and study and, I suppose, preparation. I had this, you know, maybe naive, maybe not naive, idea that my body has created this baby, and so my body was going to push it out. And what I needed to do most of all was just get my mind out of the picture and drop into what this body is made to do, which is so primal and such a, you know, unbelievable transformation that this body can do. So I definitely had, you know, years of preparation in regards to studying Kundalini yoga and breath work and tantra and embodiment. So like that, I suppose, was my prep. And I was really excited about my birth. You know, it was like I keep hearing about these stories of, you know, what it's like for the woman to walk through this fire of transformation. And I was like ready, you know, I was so ready. And so we have a beautiful room in our house where we like created this most gorgeous place. We set up fairy lights and, you know, we blew the pool up together, and we had our beautiful sacred sort of corner of what is it called, like the altar and flowers and things like that. And yeah, so she was due to come 2 days before my birthday, so both little Scorpios. And as we were approaching, everything was fine. We got a private midwife. And so I was so lucky to have the midwife come to the house every couple of weeks. And then, yeah, every week or so in the last 6 weeks. And everything was measuring really well. And I had a really, really beautiful and quite graceful pregnancy as I transitioned out of this maiden archetype. And I finished work and I got to really enjoy the slow process of, you know, coming into the other side of the mother. And yeah, so it was around, I think, a day before my birthday. And, you know, I was so big at this point and things had started to feel a little bit different. My baby, Satara, her name is, had dropped and she was super low. And I was feeling the first signs of labor starting to arise. There was like an ache in my body. There was like a really strong urge to slow everything right down. There was a really strong urge to almost like disconnect from the world as well and like go into my little womb, I suppose, of safety, where I was starting, my body was starting to prepare for the birthing process. So I had my list of when it was going to happen, like what needed to be done. So for my partner, Patty, who was assisting me in the birth, he was, you know, going to get all the things ready, and I have my playlist on and all the things that I created around it, had my little list of things to go. And yeah. And so I was just in this like little cocoon for a couple of days where the Braxton Hicks were beginning to get sort of bigger, but still very like far apart. And my friends were coming around and they were like massaging my feet. And I was just in this beautiful, slow, you know, space where I was no longer the maiden, but not quite a mother. And I was just dancing in this in-between space. And I will never forget that. Actually, thinking back on it now, it was, oh my gosh, it was such a beautiful time, because I've just realized that I'll never actually have that again. Because the next time I'm in that phase, it's like I'll have a baby and I probably won't be able to take that kind of time to myself completely, you know, because I'll have a child running around. And I was only ever going to go through that first transition once, and what a transition it was. So I think it was on the night of my birthday, things started to ramp up big time. I had had a really wonderful day. My friends all came around and they were giving me lots of massages and stuff. And we had a beautiful time with my family. We've got a whole like video recorder of it. And yeah, so we went to bed and it was about 10 o'clock at night, and I had this extremely different sensation just suddenly come over me. And it was the first time that I felt a surge in my body that was different to every other ache and pain that I'd had before. And immediately I was like, oh my gosh, this is it. This is it. And I was like, babe, I think this is it. And I was like, but you know what? I'm just going to wait and see if I have a few more contractions and see how far they are. So just like stay in the sleepiness until, in case it's a false alarm, you know? Oh, because when you don't know what you're going into, it's like the mind can easily get really stirred up with like all the things that are happening. Yeah. And so I just laid there patiently breathing into my body, and I had about 5 contractions and they were like a couple of minutes apart, but I knew we were on. It was definitely happening. This was no false alarm. So I call Patty. I'm like, it's happening. Grab the list. Let's do this. Like, we are ready. He's like, yes, yes, yes. And so he goes out, he gets the list and he puts all the things on, he puts the music on, and, you know, things start to ramp up so quickly. So I had this sort of perceived expectation that there was going to be like a slow build up to the contractions or the surges. But this was like a really quick ramp up to how I was feeling. So within about half an hour to an hour, things had gotten pretty full on. I was having contractions every couple of minutes, and the contractions were, it was taking me out of the first layer of the mind, I reckon. So it's like you kind of think things are all going to go this way, and then all of a sudden the contractions, they really drop you really deep into the body very quickly. And it's like, okay, whew, we're entering something that I've never experienced before. Let's take the mind out of this. And it's like, okay. So I was like, let's call my doula. I had an amazing, beautiful, incredible doula. Her name was Chelsea Marie Beggs. And she's also been in the tantric arts for a long time. And she's a friend of mine, and we've worked together. So I had such faith and trust in her. And she came over straight away. And she's just helping me move. Everything's really peaceful. Everything's candlelit. And I'm just sort of gracefully dancing between contractions and going nice and slow. And then my sister and my mom come over, and I've got my little birth team here. So I start to approach birth in the way of how a warrior might approach a fight. Do you know what I mean? It's like I started thinking, right, I am going to tackle this straight on. And in that moment, I kind of came out of just relaxing into it, and I went into like, let's face this head on. And I don't know if this was detrimental to the end or what, but it was definitely a lesson for me. So I decided to start just really going into it and like allowing myself to be consumed by the surges and, you know, just really dropping deep into this feeling, this process. And it really took me by surprise. I very quickly sort of moved from one state of being into a new state of being, and I didn't realize how much it was going to I didn't realize how much it was going to sort of turn me inside out, right? So I was thinking that I was going to be sitting down, like doing sound bowls and, you know, omming my baby into the world. And I feel like God had a laugh at me and was like, there's no way you're getting away with it that easy. Not this time. Like, you've got some work to do here. So, I really deep dived, and it was just the most intense experience that I've ever experienced, you know, as birth is. It's going to give you everything that you need, you know, everything that you need to move through. And so my birth was quite intense. It was so much more intense than I could have ever imagined. And I was like going into every contraction with everything that I had, and everyone thought that baby was coming pretty quickly because it started ramping up. You know, every couple of minutes the contractions were coming now, and it was beginning to deepen. And it's really funny because I was starting to break open emotionally as well. It's like the layers of the layers that were even surrounding my heart at this time that may have still been there around anything else, like they had to come up. They had to be released. Any emotion that was in my body, it had to move in order for me to be completely out of the mind and here in the body, completely open. And that's what birth was doing. It was just opening me from the inside out. And so there were so many moments where I was having these visions of, you know, my mother and my grandmother and the matriarchal line before me, the abuse or the trauma or the, you know, the things that were unresolved in that lineage. Suddenly I was having these visions of stuff that has happened, and just crying and weeping and purging as if this energy was leaving the body with every action. It was almost as if whatever was not healed within this line had to come up to be processed here so that my daughter was not going to take this on, you know? Mm. So it was quite a shamanic practice at this point. It was like things were coming into my visions. I was like the pain or the feeling of the surges was just taking me so deep into myself. I just had to let go of any clinging of the mind. I had the most amazing, amazing partner. Like, he was just with me every second of the process. And after about 4 or 5 hours, we were convinced I was going to be jumping into the pool. So I call my midwife, and She comes running over. It's about 4 o'clock in the morning. The midwife's like, okay, Abby, do you mind if I give you a check? And I was really open to for her to give me a check. I really trusted her completely. And I remember thinking in my head, God, imagine if I was only like 2 centimeters dilated. Oh. And she gave me a check and she just looked at me and said, Abby, you're about 2 centimeters dilated. You need to go back to bed. Everybody needs to go home and you need to completely relax because there is so much energy here. And I was like, oh my God, okay. So everybody went home except for my doula and me and my partner. We actually went back to bed. And I just like desperately tried to drop into some relaxation because I knew that I could potentially have a really long way to go. And that if I don't conserve my energy now, then, you know, I don't know what it's going to be like later on. So I did my best to really just slow down. My partner was just like gently tickling my back and just stroking my hair and just telling me to relax and, you know, had his hand on my belly. He was incredible. And we managed to maybe kind of rest for about an hour while I was just like, again, moving through the contractions. But after about an hour, things like just ramped up again and it went to like another level. And it was like, okay. My doula who stayed came into the room and she just put me straight into the shower. And I remember her as I was sitting in the chair of the shower and the water, which was like medicine to me, you know, really helped just relax my whole body. She was sitting there and she was just looking at me, stroking me. And she was saying like the different layers that are sort of popping right now, right? And there was this moment where I was still in a space where I hadn't quite gone into active labor, you know, the mind was still a little bit there. I still had a little bit of control over what I was doing. And she was like, you're not going to drop into active labor until you will just know. You will just know. There will be nothing else that can take your energy outside of what is happening. Like, you will just be there completely. And I was like, okay. So I was just like in the shower and the water was just incredible. I was just like riding the waves of the contractions and the water was like, oh, just softening everything, you know, it was really beautiful. And then I realized that I needed to come into a place of surrender rather than tackling it with the warrior.
Yes, yes, mama.
Totally. So it's like, okay, change everything, come back. Oh, just relax, open, surrender, and like let the process take it, you know, take you along the journey. It's like, don't try and let anything. It's so funny looking back now, noticing like still the control that I was trying to have at the beginning of labor. It's like, no, 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 no. You need to let go. You need to let go. And so the shower was beautiful and really helpful. And it was kind of like it gave me a breathing space, you know, because before that I felt like I was almost drowning in, you know, just about keeping my head above contractions. When I was in the shower, it gave me that space to like, oh, okay, I'm up. I can breathe. I can like feel my center again. I've got a little bit more like not control in the sense that I'm trying to control with the mind, but just like I can feel myself within it. I'm not like drowning in it too much. Yeah. So that was really good. And it gave me a chance to just like rest as well. And then maybe this went on for another, you know, 3-4 hours or so. So like time at this point had just collapsed into itself. I didn't know how long we had been anywhere. It was like, it was just all a blur. I was just like really focused with myself. And it got to a point where like I felt that we had hit a little bit of stagnancy. Like there was no longer sort of movement in the direction we had kind of like, you know, we had just sort of, we were staying idle in one sort of position. So I got out of the shower and I came back to bed. And I was so tired. I was, you know, I was so fed up. This is like 8 hours, I think, roughly into the journey since 10 o'clock that night. It was like nearly 10 o'clock the next morning. Yeah, so about 8 o'clock. And I was so tired. And I remember my doula looking at me and she's like, what do you need right now? And I just, I fell into my heart and I just burst into tears and I was like, I just need a break. I just need a break. It's like, I'm just feeling like I need a rest. I'm like, oh. And she's like, right. She's like, get on the bed. And then she got me on the bed and she like laid me on my side, and Paddy was on one side. She was on the other. And she was so amazing. She put her hands on my belly and she was just like fully giving me this most beautiful rub and getting me to relax. And things started to really, 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 really ramp up. And all of a sudden I had this huge contraction that let out a massive, massive roar. And then I heard like a pop. It was like a bang. And I had no idea what it was. I actually like was like, oh my God, something has just exploded. And my waters just like burst all over the bed. It was like my sister, who's had two home births, her waters like trickled in the middle of the night. And then like 2 hours later, she had her first contraction. So, you know, everything that I was expecting about this birth was just completely, you know, blown out of the water. There I was, like nearly 10 hours into my labor, having like an explosive, like my waters broke, you know, and it was like it came from it was like such a roar. It was like animal mode just kicked in. That part that she was telling me about in the shower, where when you go into active labor, there is no part of you left. It is primal. It is your body doing what it needs to do. That is where you are, and that's the next level. And like that moment on the bed when my waters burst was the moment that we just like activated next level. And so it was on again, and we went straight outside. It's like I needed to get onto the earth. I needed to be like open to the sky. I needed to breathe fresh air. So I like hobbled onto the garden outside. We've got a beautiful garden full of veggies and lemons, and it's like, you know, a real oasis for me. And I called my mom and Paddy. Well, I didn't, sorry. Paddy called my mom and my sister and was like, okay, I think we're making some like leeway now, like come back over. So my birth team, I suppose, they came back over. My mom and sister were great. They took some beautiful photos and they were just being the support that I needed. And then I spent some time outside actually birthing on the lawn and birthing. And I'd like, you know, told my neighbors that I would be birthing sometime at the house just in case they hear a woman screaming and they had no idea what was going on. So everyone in the neighborhood knew that this was something that was happening. And I was outside for a while, and I was just, yeah, I was like connecting into the earth, connecting into my primal self, and you know, my primal birthright as a woman on this earth to birth. It was just incredible, absolutely incredible. And so I was just walking up and down slash falling to the floor and walking up and down slash falling to the floor. It was just this dance of surrender and contraction, surrender and contraction. It's like there was moments that you feel so tight in the contraction, and you just have to remember to like, oh, let it ripple through you. Like, don't hold on to the intensity. Don't try and resist the pain or the surge that's moving. It's a complete give over of your mind and a full surrender of the body. So I had such a, you know, beautiful experience outside, and it was really actually helpful to be in amongst nature. And it's funny, like, you know, when I first planned my birth, I thought that I'd be in the birthing suite, like the room where it would be done, and that's where I'd spend most of the time. But I was out the front garden, I was in the back garden, I was in the living room, I was in the bed, I was in the shower. I ended up like going all over the house. It was like I needed different things at different times for the different parts of my labor. And so the outdoor part was really nice. It was like me really connecting to that, yeah, that primal birthright, and, you know, also gently connecting into the earth and the earth's energy. Because if there's any energy that you want to be connecting into when you're birthing a baby, it's the energy of the mother. It's the energy of earth. It's like she, you know, is fierce love, and she, you know, holds more wisdom than we could ever possibly understand. And so I was out there for a little while, and I had this beautiful moment with my sister. She'd birthed twice, you know, she had had the codes for birthing, and I was actually at her birth 2 days or 3 days before I conceived my daughter. So it was an interesting little mix. It was like the same weeks I was present at her birth with her daughter, and then I fell pregnant with my daughter and she was at my birth. And she was such a powerful, powerful part of the process. It was like every time I looked in her eyes, she gave me strength that I didn't even know I needed. It's like you don't even realize how much you need your birthing team around you when you're going through this process. You know, she just grabbed my hands and she just looked me in the eyes and she is like, your baby is coming. I was like, I said at one point, are you sure? I don't think she's coming. She's like, she's coming. She's coming. Just trust. She's coming. She's coming. Oh my God. And he was like, okay. And I just danced between like that real serotonin burst of like, I've got this, I'm doing it. And then like, oh, is she coming? I don't know. And then this like, you know, a bit of grief was flowing as I just keep moving through the whole process. And so another few hours went by. And where are we now? So it was about 12 o'clock. We called my midwife because we were pretty sure things were, we were on, you know. And my midwife came and she's like, okay, let's, are you happy for me to have a check? And you know what? I was actually a bit nervous the second time we were having a check because I thought, what if she tells me I'm like so early on and I've just gone through this whole process and I still have so long to go? Is that going to be detrimental to my mind right now? Do you know what I mean? Would it be better in this moment to not have the check and just keep trusting my body? So there was a moment of like whether I should or not, but I decided to. Everyone was sort of like, I don't know, I think it's a good idea. And I just looked at my midwife and I really trusted her and I just thought, you know what, I want to do this. And so she checked me and I was 7 centimeters dilated and it was like, yes! Oh, I remember the energy. It was like this eruption of just like, we are doing this. Like, it is happening. You know, she coming. Like, you have got this, mama. And it's like, again, a strength that I didn't even know was there suddenly was activated from deep, deep within. It's like there's so many things in life that you could always have more of. It's like you could always have more excitement and happiness and laughter and fun. But when you're in the state of labor, it's like it takes you to a place where it's like you don't have any more left to give. It took me, well, this was my experience. It took me to such a deep place within myself that I had to dig more than anything in, you know, more than I've ever realized. I had to dig deep and pull strength from me in order to birth her. And, you know, God, was it empowering. God, did it show me my strength. God, did it just wake me up to the power of the woman, to the power of myself. It was just incredible. So 7 centimeters dilated. My midwife was like, fill the pool up. It's happening.
Yes.
So like we filled the pool up and yeah, so I got in the pool and it was like, oh God, the feeling of jumping in that beautiful, hot, amazing pool with my birth team around me and my family around me was incredible. You know, I knew that we had just started like sort of the end chapter. So we were in the birth pool and, you know, I'm moving through the motions. I thought maybe I'd be okay sort of like laying on my back with my legs open, but, you know, being on all fours was probably the most grounded and what felt most comfortable for my body to be birthing in. So I was doing that for a while everyone was like tickling my back and like giving me wet towels on my head and things like that. And it was crazy. All of a sudden, everything sort of just stopped. So everything that I was feeling, which was such intensity, kind of just, it didn't stop completely, but it really idled, just like it did in the shower. And my wife was like, I reckon you need to come out and have a little walk again. And I was like, no. And I was like, okay, but if it has to happen, it has to happen. Like, you know, and this was about 1 o'clock, 1:30. So I got back out of the pool and I'm walking up and down the lawn again. I'm like, I'm probably going to end up birthing my baby on this lawn. And I'm like, just sitting there, my partner's holding me. He's like, you know, half, not half asleep, but like his eyes are just like fighting to keep open. And he's just like, you know, he is so solid in his presence with me, but his eyes are so tired and his body is so tired. And, you know, it's like he just needed to dig deep himself. I don't think he realized how deep he was going to be digging in order to just hold my process in it, you know?
Yes.
It's such a huge process for the man as well, you know, if they're present at birth.
It's a huge energy to hold for everyone involved. Obviously, biggest is for the mother and the partner, but also for the birth team. Birth is such a huge energy to hold space for.
It is such a huge energy. Oh my goodness. Or sure, we're birthing the next generation. And it's like every generation, you know, gets a bit clearer and clearer. So it's like whatever it is that we're not wanting to pass through this line, it's like it can be burned in the karma of the birth, you know? That's what I believe anyway.
Do you want a natural birth, Mama? Then the natural birth course might be for you. Do you see birth as a rite of passage and an important and transformational event that you'd like to feel fully empowered in meeting? Are you, like many other women, realizing that it is time to take back your power as a birthing woman in the birth space and birth your baby your way? Would you like to feel calm and confident as you birth your baby with all the tools you need in order to meet the labor sensations naturally and be ready body, mind, and soul? Do you deeply down know that your body was made to birth your baby and that you have all the inherent power and inner wisdom to do so? Are you looking for holistic midwifery wisdom and guidance to assist you and give you all the evidence-based information you need in order to feel fully sovereign in your decision-making around your pregnancy and upcoming birth? Then the Natural Birth Course is for you. Find out more at thenaturalbirthcourse.com.
And I ended up, coming out and was birthing on the lawn with my partner and my sister. And I remember at this point, I had such a intensity in my lower back. You know, there was like every contraction. It was as if my lower back was about to just like rip in half. So I had my sister behind me, just like massaging every contraction. And my midwife ended up getting me to lie down on the side and lift my right leg up because part of the head or part of Satara's head was kind of like hitting a little bit against like the wall of my back. And we needed to sort of spin her around the bend. So at one point I had like my mum holding me, my two sisters holding me, my doula, my midwife, everyone was on board with my leg up as we like were getting Satara to like move around the bend. Oh, it was so intense. Well, we got her there and things were getting pretty close now, you know. So I like ran back into the pool and then that was it. It was like things were starting to really, really come to fruition, you know. I remember the first time I put my fingers up myself and felt this. It felt like this kind of like funny sort of like, I wasn't even sure, this squishy, almost like some sort of skin or some sort of like it's squishy skin, you know. Yes. I was like, what is that? And I was like, that can't be, that's not, surely that's not. And my midwife's like, are you happy for me to have a feel? I'm like, yeah. She had a feel and she was like, there's a baby coming. And I was like, oh, this is, you know, like 14 hours from the night before, you know, and we've been on such a journey together. I was like, oh my God, the baby's coming. And my partner at this point, he jumps into the pool and he's fully there with me now. And then I'm like, can you feel it? He has a feel. And he's like, oh my God, right, it's on. And it's like the serotonin in both of us just went like, you know, and it's like, oh my God, it was just on. And it's like in that moment, so much of the intensity of the, I suppose, you know, I don't like to use the word pain, but like it was intense, you know, it was intense. So much of the intensity kind of, it softened and I had a different energy drop in and it was a little bit more like joyous. Suddenly I'm like laughing in between contractions and I'm like still in the depths of myself, but then like almost laughing where, and I have no idea where this laughter is coming from, you know? And it's like, we're here, there's a silver lining. I can see the process is about to come into completion. I'm going to meet my daughter. And, you know, the feeling that you experience in your heart and in your body at this point is it can't be described. It's something that is so miraculous, something that can only be felt when you've walked through the fire of transformation of birth, you know. So I start to push, and it's like the pushing was so obvious. My body was just, I couldn't not push. Do you know what I mean? It's like every contraction, my body went into a push. So it was on. And so I was on my hands and knees. My partner was behind me. He was like all ready to catch her. And the head was starting to come out. So I could feel the sort of burning sensation, you know, as her head was beginning to crown. And it was like her head was sort of coming out and then it was going back in, coming out, going back in, coming out, going back in. This was going on for like quite a while. So I decided to get on my back and put my legs up so that I was, you know, sort of on my back and leaning against the pool. And my legs were sort of up front so that Patty, my partner, was like right there ready to catch baby. And she was crowning for so long. Oh, my goodness. I reckon we were crowning for about 15, 20 contractions. And it was like she was coming out and going back in, coming out, going back in. And, you know, every birth video that I had watched, it was like, oh, the head sort of pops out and then the shoulders and then, like, out wiggles this little baby. And it's like, so I was just kind of, like, thinking, come on, like, the head was coming, but it was going back in, coming back in. And it was just like, just slow down. I just heard the voice of whoever drop into my mind. It was like slow, gentle pushing of the baby out. Like, there is no rush. Like, there is no rush.
And those videos are literally the end. They have been doing that turtling of that head probably for half an hour. It's just that no one's doing a video of that because nothing's happening. But it is happening and it's really good because what's happening is that obviously that turtling of the baby's head is gently opening the channel so that you don't hurt yourself. And thank God, right? It's a beautiful process and need.
Exactly. Oh, totally and totally needed. And that's what I got. It's like she's coming out so gently, you know, like let that process happen and stop, you know, don't try and push or force or anything, you know, this is all happening as it's meant to be happening. So I was, just writing this and out her head popped. It was the most insane experience I could ever imagine. My partner was bawling his eyes out at the sight of her head coming out. And then I knew we were, you know, one or two more pushes away from her fully coming out. And I will never forget the roar that brought Satara into the world. It was the roar of a woman who had been up all night, had been laboring for 16 hours at this point, who had just walked through, oh my God, this a huge fire of transformation, a woman who, you know, has been to the depth of her soul to retrieve her baby from this realm to walk back into life. You know, it was such a huge process. It's really hard to even put into words. And this roar was the last roar that I had in me. And it was everything that was left. And in this moment, oh my God, I've got my doula holding my hands. I've got my sister holding my hands. I've got my partner crying, waiting for her to come out. And he's just holding me so well. And I roar this baby into the world and out she pops. My partner holds her. She has like a really big cone head because of the because of the slow and graceful exit out of the vaginal canal. And she's in the water and we just very, very slowly kind of bring her out the water and then up onto my chest. And oh my goodness, you know, it was like in that moment of her birth, well, first of all, there is instant relief. There is everything that has just been happening all of a sudden just stops. And here you are completely, your greatest achievement has just finished. And you get the biggest rush of, well, dopamine, one, for having achieved such an incredible, what's the word for it? An incredible
achievement.
Achievement. It's like, yes, it's done. And also, like, here is the greatest thing that could ever happen to me. It's like my daughter, my baby girl, and she's on my chest, and there is nothing else that matters in the world. And I don't think I've ever had an experience that could ever match the experience of seeing her face for the first time. It's like I had visions or kind of visions of what she might look like, and I would imagine it. And then you see your baby's face for the first time. And it's so funny. I just thought I would know what she looked like, but I looked at her and I just couldn't believe that she looked so different to what I imagined, but at the same time, like, it was her, you know. It just blew my mind. It was incredible. And so I put her on my chest and I laid there, and my partner came over and he, you know, he held me and he's crying and I'm crying, and oh, it's a really beautiful moment. Until Sitara, she doesn't quite snap into life. So usually you kind of expect to hear this big cry, this big sort of release that she, you know, has come into life and the lungs inflate and the amniotic fluid is expelled from the lungs. But Sitara just doesn't cry. She starts to have little cries, but then it just like withers off. And her body is also quite limp at this time. And so my midwife kind of comes over and she's rubbing the back and she's telling me to speak to her. So I'm speaking to her and we're rubbing the back, and she takes her a little bit and she's like, don't worry, everything's going to be fine. But deep down, I knew something wasn't quite right. I had this, you know, almost this like out of body experience that created a degree of separation to what I was experiencing in order for me to just deal with the shock that was happening and the adrenaline in my system. And, you know, so that I could like keep a neutral mind when I was seeing what was happening, because there's my daughter who I've just gone through this process to receive, and you know, she's not snapping into life. So my midwife has got the I think it was
one of those little masks.
Yeah, the little oxygen masks. Yeah, and she's kind of doing that, and there's like this little kind of sucker thing to try and pull the amniotic fluid out, but nothing was sort of working. And I remember saying to me, Abby, there's nothing to worry about. This can happen, you know. If we'd be worried, then I'd be calling an ambulance now. So I was like, okay. She was like, I want you to just focus on the oxytocin and on all the love and on your body so that we can get the placenta out. So I'm trying so hard to stay really present and to focus on you know, not get too stressed about anything so that I can get the placenta out. But deep down, I feel that something's not right. So this goes on for a little bit, and I suddenly noticed that the energy in the room goes a little bit funny. And my sister is looking at my midwife, and my midwife is looking at me, and my mother is being all funny. And I'm like, what is going on here? And I've got two midwives in the room, right? Because this is the second midwife.
Yeah.
And the second midwife, she shouts out from the back something about ice cubes. And I am like, what do you mean about ice cubes? And she says, oh, sometimes we use ice cubes to, you know, help the baby come into life. And then my first midwife goes, oh, no, that's not true. I'm going to just tell you what's happened. And I was like really confused about what was going on, because everyone's acting really weird. And so a couple of weeks previously to the birth, my partner had been on a little bit of a journey, and he went and did a, you know, mushroom ceremony with a healer that he knows. And with the leftover psilocybin tea, it was put into ice cubes and put into the freezer to use as microdoses, so, you know, throughout the days or weeks sometimes. So during my birth, little did my midwife know, but she went into the freezer and grabbed a load of the ice cubes out and put it in a huge water bottle for me to drink while I was laboring in the pool. So little did anyone know, except for my sister, when she found out that all the ice cubes had gone, was that there was, you know, psilocybin mushroom tea in the water bottle. Oh,
my goodness.
So there I was thinking, you know, oh my God, here I am having, you know, like such a shamanic process as part of this initiation. I'm feeling my mother, I'm seeing my grandmother, I'm seeing stuff that has been stuck, trauma in the lineage, I'm crying, I'm purging, I'm moving through this whole process. And I'm also potentially have psilocybin, well, definitely have psilocybin in my system. Yes. So while this was all happening, once they found out that they had done this, my midwife, she researched the effects that psilocybin can have on a child and through the placenta, have effects on the baby. And the psilocybin can actually travel through the placenta and create a sedative effect. So it is possible that Sitara was slightly sedated or slightly not quite sort of in her body when she arrived in this sort of realm. So potentially there was a space where she needed some longer integration, but unfortunately we have a baby here who hasn't breathing properly because there's still fluid in her lungs. Mm. So in this moment, I turn into warrior mum. I stand up in the pool. I birth my placenta into the pool. It just like comes out with a bang and an ambulance is called. So it's like everything I had, every, you know, expectation of my birth and every decision I wanted to do, like after birth, we had planned to have a lotus birth where we keep the placenta attached until it naturally falls off. And the ceremony that we were going to have around it, it's like it all went out the window. It was like the cord needed to be cut, the ambulance was here, and we just had to do what we have to do, you know? Yeah. And so although everything kind of went out the window at the very end, we just had to let the plan of the birth, you know, take its course. And we found ourselves in a hospital, in an ambulance. Sitara was attached to me. I was on the stretcher. I am white as a ghost after 17 hours of labor. You know, I've still got like blood on my legs. I don't have a proper hospital bag. My mom is packing all my bags, and we are rushed off to hospital at peak hour traffic on a Friday afternoon. And it's just like the most surreal, crazy experience when I thought I'd be resting in my bed, you know, with my beautiful silk pajamas, ready to just like spend the next 40 days like in beautiful deep integration with my child. So we got to the hospital and she was put on something called a CPAP machine, which just helps the lungs inflate and the fluid drain. It is quite common. It actually can happen to a lot of babies during a C-section, because when they don't go through the vaginal canal, it sometimes stop them from taking that big, deep breath in and then cry out the fluid in the lungs. So, you know, the NICU are really familiar with this kind of thing. And within 24 hours, the CPAP machine had helped the lungs inflate properly and we were gone the next night. So it was a really intense, it was an intense process from the very beginning to the very end. And it was one that this particular birth really initiated me and Patty both into sort of warrior mum and dad. And one thing it also helped me do was to really trust my intuition, especially when it came to the hospital and what I was choosing to allow to happen or not. I was able to just stick by her side and make the decisions that I felt was best for her, coming from a place where when you try and keep everything as natural as possible, when you're not quite willing to sort of pump your baby with antibiotics just in case, you know, I had to really trust my intuition with that, because everyone thought I was a bit crazy. But in my eyes, like, my daughter was getting better every hour. There was no chance of an infection, I thought. So I stuck my ground, and she didn't have to have antibiotics or anything. And the next day she was completely clear, and we were able to take her home. And when we finally got back home, we got to have that beautiful, nice, slow integration into the 40-day, fourth trimester, and finally relax into the new life that we were creating for ourselves. So, yeah, it was quite a...
Wow, what an epic birth story, and so many layers to what you have shared. There have been so many things as you've shared your story that I've been aha-ing about. And, as you said from the beginning, how you went into that kind of warrior woman to, you were going to meet mm-hmm. labor and kind of work with it, and almost like you were calling in this period of time of where you were also working with clearing ancestral trauma. This is also something, that, and I've spoken to this many times in this podcast, how, especially as a first-time mama, sometimes why it's a bit of a longer process is because we need to go through whatever we need to go through until we can get to that point where we actually can surrender. And for everyone, that's so different, so different. Totally. And for some reason, you needed those hours of being the warrior woman, of going through these different things that you needed to cry out or be with, for you to fully then be able to step into that surrender. You couldn't have done that instantaneously. It just wasn't your path. You needed to go through that. And a lot of women will have that, but different things that they don't fully feel. Maybe they have fear come up, anxiety come up. Maybe some people, just like yourself, have memories or even past your own memories. And it's a very common thing for a first-time mama to go through. Mm-hmm. Hours where physically you're not making a lot of progress, but there's a massive process and progress going on emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. And we need to honor that time, because in the medical world, you hear me speak about early labor and pre-labor and active phase. And, essentially I, the person, me, don't believe in phases. It's all labor and birth. It's just the medical kind of terms for things. And it's the physical body's stages only.
Yeah.
And if we can even talk about that, because every physical body is also going to be different. So it's like, it's really bullshit. Okay. However, you were having a massive process on all the other levels, maybe not, and obviously also your physical body, but that wasn't the big thing in the beginning. And then you went into that more where all was aligning. You could fully surrender to the massive force of nature coming through you. And that's when also your body started to gently open, because she is a delicate being and she will not open if she's afraid or if she wants to control or if she's in her mind. That's how the feminine body works. We'll close up. We will close on up. We need to feel fully secure and safe in our environment, in ourselves, that we have shed what we needed to shed so we can fully be present and surrender. Yes. And I really love that, because your story really tells that process so eloquently. It's absolutely an amazing story, what you just shared. That's going to help so many mamas. And then, oh my God, the plot twist, the plot twist of what happened in the end of your labor, that your midwife accidentally gives you mushroom tea. Holy moly, mother of God. What? That was a cracker. What?
It's not something you hear every day, but oh my God, like, this goes to show my birth had a plan of its own. And I truly trust the divine and how it was perfectly orchestrated to be this way. And some part of me wonders if maybe Satara just needed that extra bit of integration before she was just like snapped into life. Who knows? But she has been an incredibly chilled out, content and happy baby ever since. So maybe there's something to it.
Goodness me. Well, definitely not recommending this to any mama out there. And obviously this was totally unaccidental. But yes. I wanted to also mention that, of course, that yes, like, there's other drugs. Obviously drugs will affect your baby if you have drugs in labor and during birth. And another drug, for example, that can cause sedation is morphine. And morphine is something that is offered to women in labor if they feel like they need some pain relief. And it should definitely not be given anytime, kind of, if you, and this is a thing, you don't know when birth's going to happen. As a practitioner, if a woman is asking for example, morphine here, say that she's too far gone for an epidural, this is but having a medical birth, obviously, then she could maybe be given morphine. However, you shouldn't give morphine more than 4 hours before birth, because then the baby most likely will be sedated as it comes into the world, and the lungs won't inflate, and you will need to do what happened to your baby to give some oxygen and potentially CPAP. So, and again, you know, that happens all the time, that might be given, and then whoopsies, an hour later, a woman has a baby, even though she might be, if you check her vaginal, you know, her dilation in her cervix, you might think, if you're going to go through the linear process of birth, which is bullshit, because there's nothing linear about birth, you know, a woman can be 6 centimeters and have a baby in an hour, or a woman can be 9 centimeters and have a baby in 5 hours. You know, there is not such a thing, really. And the whole linear thing about thinking about birth just should go out the window. It's not evidence-based. It's not how it happens in practice. And it's important to know, I know women listen to this, want to have a natural birth without drugs. However, if that ever is presented and you ever consider that, it's really important to know what can occur and the side effects.
Absolutely. And women, we're not linear. We're colorful, we're bright, we're wild, it's chaotic. You know, we're open, we're multi-dimensional, incredible beings that cannot be put into a structure or a box that says that active labor should be 2 hours, which is what is the time limit. So if I had gone into hospital and, you know, it obviously went over because I was in active labor for nearly 5 hours, there could have been an intervention with that. And it's like, you know, it's such a shame that the reverence of what a woman needs to fully feel in her power to naturally birth her child, the system isn't really there to support that. You know, it's kind of put more into a medical process than anything else. And this is such an essential part of the primal process for an initiation for a woman, you know.
And that all parts of us needs to be ready to birth a baby. So again, exactly. As I said, you know, you can be 9 centimeters or whatever, and it still takes 5 hours until you have birthed your baby, or the opposite. And that you're not just a physical body opening mechanically 1 centimeter an hour. You are a multidimensional being, and you might not emotionally be there. You might not be mentally there. You might not be spiritually there. Fully safe to birth your baby. And just as you say, we all need our process to get there. For some, it will be very quick. For some, it will be very long. For some, you know, the different parts of the labor process will be different. It's just, it's all unique. And that is why, even though I've interviewed women now for almost 2 years for this podcast, each birth story is different unique. And I'm equally excited each time I go on this, you know, to interview a woman, because I'm like, ooh, what treats will we get today, you know? And it's really like that. Everyone has different kinds of wisdoms to share from their story and their life, because we're all unique, you know? So,
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
What a trippy. No pun intended. Ha, maybe a little bit. Sorry.
No, totally, totally. You know, I even heard when I was, you know, in pregnancy, I heard that some tribes will have like ayahuasca and stuff while they're birthing. I don't know if you've ever learned stuff about that, but I've heard that in the Amazon and things like that, that women will have a little sups of ayahuasca while they're birthing to help the process. Don't really feel like that was something that I might take on, but just thought it was interesting to hear that there's these modalities out there that women birth in different cultures, you know, all over the world in different ways.
Again, there's not one way. And I think, you know, especially seeing as you accidentally had this at the end of your labor, it was so close to birth, probably when you were getting this, and that is why it affected your baby as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Right. Well, she was fine in the end. You were fine in the end, and now you've bonded through months, and here you are with sharing your story. So if you had a first-time mama in front of you right now who's about to have her first baby, and she really wants to have a natural and empowering birth experience, what advice and pearls of wisdom would you give to her?
Oh, okay. So firstly, like you said, every woman is different, right? Every single woman is unique, and that you can have your plan on your birth, but ultimately your birth is also going to have a plan, and surrender as much as you can to the process, because the more the mind can get out of the way, the more your body can just take over, and your body knows what to do. Your body has a blueprint in it that is going to be activated, and it's going to take over, and your body will open, and your body will push your baby out just as it made your baby. So my advice would be to relax as much as possible. Really, really try and go so slow. So just be with every contraction, spend time with your beloved, make sure you're getting lots of nourishment, some love, some tickles, some strokes, some holding, and really, really just have so much patience with every process of it, because, you know, it might be long, it might be short, you don't know, but surrender is key, and trusting the wisdom of your body that it's going to kick in is necessary.
Love that. So true. Surrender is key. I think that's the takeaway from that. And that is not an easy thing to achieve.
No, it sounds easy, but the actual embodiment of that is there's layers to get to for the complete surrender, and you don't even know that they're there, you know? And then you just need another one and then another one until you get to the end when it's full surrender.
Mm.
And there's no better, there's actually no better feeling. It really, like...
Mm.
There's nothing there but pure awareness of your body opening to give you your baby. It's unbelievable. And you will never be the same on the other side of it.
Mm.
It changes you forever. And it's the evolution of the female soul, you know? Mm. It's like, bring it on. It's so incredible.
Mm. Beautiful. Mm. Oh, beautiful, Abby. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's been an absolute pleasure having you.
You are so welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, Mama, did you know that you can join me and amazing mamas from around the world sharing resources, birth stories, and conception, pregnancy, and mothering advice in our free, natural, and conscious online mamas community space? Find the link in the show notes and join today. Thank you for listening. If you love this podcast, then please share it. Grade it on iTunes and leave a comment. If you want to connect on social media, you can find me on Facebook as The Spiritual Midwife or on Instagram as the_spiritual_midwife. Thank you for listening.